You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Barbie Angel, returning from Asheville for her second time on the panel, and new panelist Erin Scholes. Erin Scholes, you can find out more about her and her work at dreamspider.net. Barbie Angel, a poet, and you can find out more about her at barbieangel.com, and that's Angel with two L's. Today, we're talking about the recent passage of the Local Community Radio Act. And earlier this month, President Obama signed into law the act, making room for a lot more low-power FM stations across the country, and especially in more larger markets where they had not been able to be before.
Low-powered radio stations are actually really important to foster a sense of community on just like a tighter-knit level. There's a lot of smaller organizations that don't necessarily have access to commercial radio or even like a AAA station or don't know how to talk to them, but it's really easy to go into a lower-powered station that fosters really working with different community groups or minority groups or women's groups, church people. It's just very important to pull those people together and give them a voice.
I would think also pretty important because a low power station is also going to be a place that helps to develop the fan base for the local artists, and the bigger names just don't come to the low powered stations as much.
Yeah, it's also nice that with there's a lot of local DJs that will be in the lower powered stations, where it gives a lot of access to people in the community that might even just be like a volunteer DJ to really give them a voice and a chance to sometimes learn or just sometimes work with other people.
So the way that this came about is it took a long, long time to get this thing passed. And there was, of course, opposition mainly from the radio stations, the powers that be in commercial radio. They were the sort of the last opposition to stand against it. But it came through with a lot of really hard-fought grassroots sort of activism getting this thing into law. So what they've done is they've changed the rules so that you don't have the old way of determining what the signal is going to be broadcast. So they would say, all right, so your signal is protected. The FCC would say your signal is protected against these other little stations. Of course, the low power stations are still at the sort of the bottom of the chain. They're the sort of got the least priority over the largest commercial stations. But what they've done is they've said, instead of looking at it in a linear way of saying, okay, your low power station is going to broadcast 5 miles from here, so you can't be here because your frequency is too close to this commercial station, which is also broadcasting in this region. What they've done is they've said, okay, we're going to go to a more realistic contour sort of map and look at the topography and look at the valleys and hills and such and say, well, really, at 35 watts, your station is only going to broadcast 2 miles. So you're going to cover a certain region or a certain suburb only. And therefore, now we're going to allow you to get into these major markets where low-power stations had not been able to go before. So this is going to be a bonanza and is probably going to double the number of low-power stations across the country. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that a lot of college radio stations, a lot of high-profile college radio stations are being sold or are being proposed to being sold. A station at Vanderbilt, great station in Nashville, the battle is still being fought as to whether that station is going to be sold or not, but basically the school wants to sell it for millions of dollars. KTRU in Rice, at Rice University in Houston, was sold and made into an online-only sort of station. Unfortunately, a very, very well-heard station because they had 50,000 watts. They only went up to 50,000 watt power in the early 90s. They became such a sort of prize, this plum radio station, that in these economic times, universities need more money and they're not getting it. And so they're looking for ways to get some cash influx. And so that's typically what's been happening. You got just very recently at the University of San Francisco, just pulled the plug on their student station without warning whatsoever. Students came in to do the broadcast one morning and were locked out of the building, literally.
Nice.
And they said, well, you're going to be an online-only station. We're selling it to these folks that are going to run classical music or whatever. And by the way, you might get an internship at that station. It's just all incredibly sad.
That is really sad. I mean, it's the loss of a voice of a whole community. I mean, people really rely on a lot of the college stations. I mean, the students are listening to that. And I mean, you learn, I mean, even the students taking part are learning so much, you know. It's like, where would some of the more commercial stations be if someone didn't start in maybe college?
Well, yeah, it's on one hand, it's like the end of Pump Up the Volume with Christian Slater, where all of a sudden, you know, you hear all these different people starting their own pirate radio stations and so on and so forth. And then on the other hand, you have what's essentially pretty much a monopoly in most areas of these companies that own multiple major commercial radio stations in the area are just buying up the smaller ones. And, you know, you look at music historically, as far as like bands like REM, which started out with just this tiny little college radio station following and built their band up from there. And bands like that end up having a stronger and longer lasting effect in music because they've built up a core audience. And so it seems so very important to music to have those tiny little radio stations that are, you know, working for their community.
Yeah, a lot of them tend to be really diverse in the styles of music. They might play reggae or maybe a little bit of hip-hop and then some Americana, and it's like different programs where you can really learn American culture at its finest. I mean, it's the music scene is really diverse, and the college stations tend to offer a lot of different styles and different things, whereas some of the bigger stations have like a set playlist or a set certain thing, and it's harder for a smaller band to even break out into it because no one's listening. So the college stations a lot of times do play different bands, and then it's like as the college scene or as the people start listening to it and realizing, hey, this is really good, then one of the bigger stations might pick it up as well, or maybe they'll get higher attendance at a show from it. Yeah.
Or someone like me who's a poet who was on local radio stations back in Illinois, college radio. And it took that to get me onto the main radio station in town.
So one of the main arguments that these universities are using is they say, well, students aren't listening to the radio anymore. They're listening to things online. So we're just going to put it online.
I think a lot of people are listening to music online. I listen to more music online than I do not online because I sit on my computer and I work every day and I put on, sometimes it's iTunes, sometimes I'll put on one of like the like Groove Shark or something like that, or sometimes I'm listening to CDs or I'll go on listen to like WNCW online, or I'll pick a station out in Seattle or California and I just kind of pop around to different things, and some just internet stations in general I'll listen to. But then when I'm in my car is when I listen to the radio.
That's right.
So it's like I'm driving around, or if I'm driving, if I go 10 hours north and visit my family, sometimes I'll pop through different stations in different towns and just kind of see what the feel is of their area and listen to the actual radio that way. But when I'm in my office, I do tend to listen online, even if it's the local station.
I actually carry around a 1985 boombox, and I have it on my shoulder, and I listen to only WNCW at all times when they are on the air. And when they're not, I just go over it in my head and remember everything that was said on the air, and I repeat it all to myself, and people think I'm nuts. No, but I don't actually have an iPod or it's an iPod, yes. I have an 8-track player at home. I have a couple turntables. I really do. And I listen to the radio. Because I'm old school, I don't use any of the online programs or have apps on my phone to play any of that. I'm a radio and CD kind of girl, an 8-track.
That's evidence of one of the biggest arguments against selling these stations is that, A, like you said, Aaron, in your car, people tend not to listen to mobile devices and things like that as much. It's much easier to listen to the radio in your car than a lot of other places nowadays. And also that it takes away that real-world experience that students are looking for when they come to school. You know, a lot of students at these places like Duquesne and Rice and now University of San Francisco said, look, I came to school, one of the major reasons was because of this radio station, because I had a chance to have this real-world experience and to to sort of have a hand in making culture, whereas online it's just not the same thing. Anybody can have an online radio station, which is fine. Anybody can hear it around the world, which is cool. But the reality of it is that people listen to radio far more through the FM signal than they do online.
And then there's a lot of people that don't have internet or don't have wireless or don't have a computer, and they do have a radio. Not everyone has the internet or is going to be on there. Not everyone's technology has that savviness to them. So they just do want to listen to the radio. You get to know the personalities at your local station too. I mean, I wouldn't listen online to WNCW if I didn't know them from listening to the radio in my car.
What we've got is a kind of an environment where the strong are taking over the weak. You know, it's a dog eat dog world. And what you're seeing with these radio station sales from especially these colleges and universities is that they have realized that they are the weak link. You know, these stations have great wattage and such. But yes, the students aren't listening to the stations as much. And by golly, we need the $5 million. And we're going to sell it. And these other stations have the resources to buy it. And, you know, damn the torpedoes.
So it seems to me like that should maybe become a focus to college radio stations. You know, that they should take a look at their programming and take a look at their place in the society of their campus and say, what can we do to get more people to listen to us? Try to get the students engaged to save their own radio stations. And get the community around them involved as well. What are you going to do, Joe?
Well, I'm asking you to let us know what you think. Email us whatitis@wncw.org. Is this a case of one step forward, two steps back for radio in general? We're talking about the passage of the Local Community Radio Act and the expected proliferation of low-power stations around the country at the same time as a lot of high-profile college stations are sold. For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by new panelists Aaron Scholes and Barbie Angel. Until next time.